This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly film and television podcast with a new episode available each week at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your podcast app of choice. I'm Aaron Peterson, and I'll be your host for this special episode of The Hollywood Outsider. As our loyal listeners know, every once in a while, we like to bring in interviews with filmmakers to give you an insight into both what goes into getting their film made, as well as insight into the respective film itself. Well, for this episode, we're talking to the writer and director of the new film Traffic, Deon Taylor, which is available theatrically April 20th, 2018. Traffic follows Bree, who's played by Paula Patton. She's a journalist recently sidelined due to a distinct lack of immersion into her reporting. The timing could not be better, though, when her boyfriend, John, who's played by Omar Epps, whisks her away for a lush romantic hideaway tucked in the solace of the wilderness, which is somewhere I would want to be until I saw this movie. Happenstance meets tragic timing as Bree and John cross paths with a young woman who's seemingly pleading for help, and then they run across a conspicuous biker gang looking for trouble. After an intense encounter at a local gas station, the couple arrive at a picturesque retreat where a weekend of indulging awaits. But of course, an ill-timed visit from mutual friends, played by Laz Alonso and Rosalind Sanchez, precedes a very horrific development. Bree has found the desperate woman's phone in her bag. And as fate would have it, that woman has just arrived, demanding that phone back. And she is not alone. Traffic sets the board like a lot of other thrillers. It's very similar in that respect, where our heroes find themselves trapped in this isolated locale, and a bunch of sadistic outlaws are waiting out there, trying to get at them for a specific purpose. What sets this film apart are the very intense stakes at play for our characters amid the backdrop, which is sex trafficking. At a recent film festival, I watched a documentary that went into what really happens with sex trafficking. And it's a very realistic, sincere problem. I think most people don't realize how widespread it is and how deep it truly extends. I think you guys are really going to like the film. Check it out in the theaters April 20th. Paula Patton is great. And then I really, as I talk about in the interview, I really liked how her performance is very much someone who is terrified the entire time, but still fighting for her life. It felt genuine in that respect, and it wasn't like there's no superhuman moment, there's no Terminator moment where she just flips the script and suddenly she is an all-powerful weapon machine. You know, she is just fighting and clawing her way out of this tragic situation throughout. And the rest of the cast are full of people that I've long admired. Omar Epps, I'm a big fan of, have been. I've even watched Resurrection, show I had no interest in just because Omar was in it. I think you guys are really going to enjoy the film. It's a pulse-pounding entertainment. It's a thriller, but it has an underlying message. And to elaborate on that message, as well as the film itself, is writer and director Deon Taylor, responsible for the hit Meet the Blacks, as well as its sooner-to-be-released sequel, and the upcoming Dennis Quaid thriller-motivated seller. And I love me some Dennis Quaid. Taylor's been a filmmaker on the rise for several years. All right, well, I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. Deon was a great guy to talk to. Keep in mind, this is a phone interview, so connections do vary. Enjoy our exclusive interview with writer and director Deon Taylor as he discusses his new film, Traffic. Hey, Deon, how are you?
Aaron, I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Your movie's great.
Oh, Aaron, don't do that to me, man. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much, man. Thank you. Thanks for even taking the time to speak with me and hopefully write something great about the film, man. Thank you, brother.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I saw Supremacy a couple years back. That was based on a true story. I didn't realize that at the time.
Yeah. Supremacy is my baby, man. that's my 16 millimeter baby. Yeah. I'm happy you've seen it. Yeah. So, obviously, handling that movie was a lot different than Traffic because, you know, that was me unapologetic and very raw and very visceral in terms of telling that story because I was connected to that family that went through it. And after speaking to actually the real guy, Scully, in prison and then being with the family for a few months, when I picked the camera up, I was really shooting that movie with the attitude. You know what I mean? I was shooting so people could understand what that felt like, you know? And interesting parallel to Traffic based on the fact that that story came to me. I didn't pick it. It just came to me. I was telling the guy earlier, we started receiving emails from the school about my daughter who was, you know, they would say, hey, don't drop your kids off at the mall, the local mall, because kids are being trafficked and not kidnapped, not taken. It said trafficked. And I said, well, what is this? I said, they don't traffic black people, do they? And sure enough, man, as I was looking through this, like Googling everything, I said, oh my God, as a matter of fact, African Americans and Latino are amongst the highest trafficked. And it just blew my mind. And I started doing more and more research and the story just came to me. And I wanted to make a film you know, that was grounded in a real thing, a real place, a real issue. And I wanted to set a thriller on top of it. Mm-hmm. So that people could, you know, instead of you seeing Boogie Night 3 with the boogeyman, right? I said, no, this is the boogeyman. This is real. And this is happening right now. And it's so easy for you to stumble into a heist. It's so easy for you to stumble into a shootout. It's so easy for you to stumble into a trafficking ring. It's so easy for you to sit next in a car or on an airplane next to someone and she's not talking and you have no idea that the guy behind her is actually taking her somewhere. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to put my energy into this movie, and, you know, and we made this film Traffic, man, and I'm beyond excited about it. I'm screaming from the rooftops for people to actually check it out in terms of watching the movie for the message, and for what we were able to do with, you know, cinematically. I just think it takes you on a journey, and I feel like it touches a lot of your nerves and your system and your bones. And when you get up and you get ready to walk out, you read this, you cry on and you go, oh, whoa, this is real. And I, you know, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah, I recently saw a documentary on sex trafficking at a film festival. So, I mean, I think if you watch this movie and you don't see how it is in real life, you think it's kind of impossible, but it's very widespread. What kind of research did you do into the subject itself for the movie?
Just a lot of reading, ton of reading, man. And then what I did before I started shooting the movie is I actually got out and I spoke to some trafficking victims. I spoke to one lady who not only had been trafficked, but also became a trafficker, which was really interesting. She was a girl that was homeless, had been put through the system in terms of being trafficked, became one of the best girls they had. And ultimately they flipped her and she was actually out trafficking girls. When I seen that, talked to her, I was, you know, obviously you have so many feelings in your body, like, yo, so this happened to you and then you started doing it to people? And you just see, you know, how evil it is.
Wow.
And just how dark this is. I mean, as an epidemic. And that's when I knew I was doing the right movie. I said, man, this is crazy. Like, no one's saying anything. You know, no one's talking about it. Like, you see little things blurb across the screen, but you fail to realize that that 16-year-old girl that's at the nail salon might be getting trafficked. Or, you know, that young mother of four that's working, that's Latino, that's working at the shop that you, the coffee shop you go to, how does she get here? Like, it's sad, man. And when you dig more and more, you start really seeing and uncovering this and you go, wow. So when I made the movie, I wanted these people to be hiding in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I wanted it to be where you got it. And the phone was an issue for me because as I started learning, I said, oh, they actually transport cargo like they do anything else through cell phones, through Apple, through iPhones, right? They're cataloging girls on phones and forwarding pictures to people, to customers, to people that want to buy the girls, to different cities. And it's a business. You know, for some people, they're like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe I seen this. And we did that. I said, yeah, go read about it. Right? Like, all you got to do, the needle, oh, yeah, the dirty needle, yeah, they shoot them up. Sometimes girls don't wake up for a week and they've had 100, you know, they've had 100 guys on top of them. You know what I mean? Or they wake up, they don't ever wake up.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought the movie was really, really dope at taking you down the rabbit hole with this lady who's a journalist. And for her to be able to go down that and find her journey through this film. You know what I mean? Find herself at the end as a reporter through this journey, which is pretty cool too.
Well, the one thing I like about it is it's a serious topic, but you're still making a thriller and it comes across as both. So was it difficult for you to decipher where the line was between education and entertainment?
Very. And I think that's what a lot of people are getting now. They're going, man, well, what happened? And I said, well, it would not have been true to form if I would have made it popcorny and phony after, you know, when the trafficking happens. I think what we were dealing with is a real subject matter, and I wanted to make you feel it. Like I said, instead of it being a ghost or a goblin or, you know, some monster, I said, no, this is the monster. The monster is trafficking. The monster is what these guys are doing to women. This is what the cover-up is, right? And when I got, you know, we got on set, myself and Dante, we wanted to really turn the temperature up. We wanted to play with the lights. We wanted to make it noir. We wanted to make it moody. We wanted to make you feel like you were in it. And what happens is when you watch the movie now, you go on this ride and then all of a sudden, bam, you fall down the rabbit hole. And that's what it looks like. I just thought it was a really cool way to tell a really dark story. And I think it does a good job of it. I think people are abruptly surprised, like, whoa, what just happened? And I used the beat of Nina Simone in the truck to let you know what world you're in now, right? So I completely pull you out of the movie and say, okay, here's where we're at now. This is what this girl is dealing with. You know, it's an interesting parallel for my life because I tend to tell people, if you've ever been involved in anything violent, a car accident, someone puts a gun on you, what happens is you go from a natural regular day and then you go to a hyper reality space when it happens, right? You're like, oh my God, what just happened? Or what am I in? And that's what I wanted to do in the movie. I wanted you to go, okay, what just happened? And yeah, you're in it.
Yeah. And really cool. One thing I really love about Paula Patton's performance is, and it stood out to me, is that typically in a movie where a woman fights back against her aggressors, there's that Hollywood moment where she no longer seems afraid, throws a quip out, and then she becomes the Terminator. Yep. But Paula, she fights the whole way. I mean, the tagline is refuse to be a victim, and she really does. Her character fights the entire time, but she never stops being terrified. She kind of seems to use that fear to drive her, so it feels more of a realistic fight than, you know, suddenly she's Rambo. Man.
Yes. Yeah, it's not like all of a sudden she's tough, right?
Right.
She was tough the whole movie. And I thought that was kind of cool about her. And yeah, she's scared out of her wits. But she's fighting. You know, it's the old model fight or flee. I feel like she's fighting and she understands as a journalist in the movie how important the story is to get out, even if it jeopardizes them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I thought that was actually really cool. You know, and I don't want to draw a line, but, you know, I'm just saying, like, it's journalists that go to Fallujah and South Africa and, you know, go to these war-ridden places to tell a story. And oftentimes, they have been victimized or shot or killed trying to report. And I just thought she was a high-level reporter. And she had actually didn't want to fall in love, didn't want to be in love because she was so caught up in her life as a journalist. So when the tide turned and the drama happens, not only is she still trying to get the story, but she's also trying to live. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that was an interesting, that's really, really interesting what you said, because she found Paula as an actress found a very, very interesting rhythm to be in, where she wasn't too far right and wasn't too far left. She actually was able to stay right in that pocket. You know what I mean? Where she's terrified, but she's still trying to fight.
I really appreciate that because it felt like a real character to the end, where oftentimes in those movies, you know, she suddenly is just a super weapon. And I really liked how this played out.
That, I just want to expand on that because you made such a good point. What's interesting about her character is, and was did this purposely, because I felt like sometimes in life, what happens to you is, you know, without getting all spiritual, like God rips everything away from you so you can understand what path you're supposed to be on. You're going to be a stronger person. You're going to be a stronger writer. And you're now going to be able to tell a story that's going to help others. Do you know what I mean? And that was just interesting with her character, because we were fighting for that the whole movie. Like, after all this goes down, how does she hold herself? What is her character doing? Like, where does she live in her headspace?
Yeah, and let me ask you, you have a lot of actors that people know. Omar Epps, I mean, I've loved him since Juice. Rosalind Sanchez, Laz Alonso, Missy Pyle, William Fichtner. When you're making a movie that's a thriller, and you know there's a lot of cliches with thrillers, but usually you feel like, if I know the actor, the character's probably safe. Where here, nobody's really safe throughout the entire movie. Was that difficult to pull off?
Yeah, because you got to go against the traditional Hollywood system and the traditional PR and marketing of films. To me, this movie is about film and art, the art of cinema. And what I loved about what you just said is no one's safe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm an independent filmmaker, man. I've been doing these movies on my own for a long time. So I really shoot in art. This is my art form. Like, I don't go by rules. I go by what I feel like, what my heart feels like when I shoot a picture. Omar and Laz, like the men to me, they were great, but they were conduits for these women to actually be stronger people in this situation.
Well, when audiences walk out of Traffic, what do you hope they take away from it?
Man, I hope they have a good time and enjoy every moment of the film. But more importantly, I hope they walk away and the movie stays with them and it sparks a conversation about this issue.
I think it's a great conversation starter. Absolutely. I got to let you go. Best of luck on this film, as well as I know you're working on some other ones. You've got the Meet the Black sequel, and you're working on a movie with Dennis Quaid, who I love Dennis Quaid, so I can't wait to see that as well.
Yeah. Wait till you see this one, man. You're going to love it. You will love that one. So I'm excited. Thank you so much, brother. I really appreciate it, man. And I really appreciate you just taking the time to speak to me and tell our story and help support our film, man. It's well-received. Thank you.
There you go. That was our interview with writer and director Deon Taylor from Traffic. Once again, the movie was a fun thriller with an underlying message I think you guys are really going to dig. Please check it out. It's in theaters April 20th. Really think you're going to like it. Go with some friends, have some fun, and then go read up on the real life situation. It'll open your eyes. Once again, thank you for listening to the Hollywood Outsider podcast. We try to bring in these interviews with filmmakers in the world of cinema when we can, so I really hope you enjoyed this one. Remember to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Music, or your podcast app of choice. Our normal show has a new episode every single week and is available at thehollywoodoutsider.com. This is Aaron Peterson reminding you, when you're heading into the theater on April 20th to see Traffic, buy popcorn.